Dear Christian friends, there is a novel entitled Embezzled Heaven, which was also made into a movie. And it is about an elderly lady in Austria named Theta. The primary concern of Theta's whole life was to make sure that she would someday be in heaven. It was said of her, "Theta is preparing for eternity. She has a plan." Her plan, as the novel says, was to buy her way into heaven by good works and sacrifices and works of penance with the aid of a private mediator. Realizing that her good deeds were not going to be enough by themselves, she wanted the safeguard of a private mediator to cleanse her of her sins and their punishments by prayers and sacrifices for her in this life and after death. So she undertook the project of scrimping and saving to pay for the education of a boy, her own nephew, to be her very own mediator. For many years, she sent him the money and received from him eloquent letters promising to carry out her wishes and also asking for more funds to sustain him in his poverty even after ordination. Then one day she set out to visit him, and she soon discovered that he had long been lying in his letters to her. He had in reality dropped out of the seminary and was living a carnal and worldly life, but still taking her money. Theta was heartbroken. Her plan was ruined. She had lost her mediator. He, the rascal, had embezzled her out of her hope of heaven. The novel goes on to describe her endeavors to put her plan on a sounder basis and to find another priest to be her private mediator. But the novel never gets beyond that level of spiritual thinking. It gives no hint that the ultimate issue here is not the problem of an unscrupulous and money-hungry seminarian or priest, abominable as that may be. But it is the truth that any teaching of gaining heaven by good works and of any reliance upon penances and priests and sacrifices of the Mass is spiritual embezzlement of souls. One who is guided by the scriptures and by the Lutheran confessions cannot read this novel or see this movie without longing to cry out to this dear, likable old lady, "Theta, oh Theta, do you not hear the words of the Apostle Paul? The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ our Lord." Eternal life is not earned. It is the free gift of God. Sin pays wages, but God gives life as a gift, and it is life in Christ. He is the only mediator that we need. And those who trust in him are secure forever. That is the good news of the gospel, Theta, which can calm your troubled heart. St. Paul, in the reading, follows the Lord Jesus in telling us of the two roads. These are the only two roads on which human beings can travel. There is the wide road that leads to eternal destruction, and then there is the narrow road that leads to life. On the one road, there are those who are the slaves of sin and live in impurity and impenitence, and they are headed for death and eternal destruction. On the other road are those who serve God and are sanctified, and at the end of that road is eternal life. The apostle tells us that eternal life is a free gift, and those who are on the road to life do not earn it by their sanctification and by their righteous living, which, to be sure, do beautify that roadway. Sin remains in them to the end, and they do deserve death. But eternal life is a gift of God's wonderful grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died for us, counting the wages of sin as his own and agreeing to be paid those wages and giving us eternal life for the sake of his blood and righteousness. But there is an old, old protest to this way of explaining things, and the apostle is well aware of it and deals with it. It goes like this. If eternal life is not gained by works, but by grace through faith, those who are on the road to life then will lose interest in doing good works. Shall we continue in sin in order that the grace that we need may abound? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Paul has an answer. Those who are under grace are made able to walk in newness of life. Along with the sure hope of eternal life, we also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to create new life and love for the Lord. And thankfulness and the joy of salvation are powerful forces that he stirs up in our lives in order to create and create in us the love for the Savior who died for us and to move us to serve him gladly. Paul calls it a new kind of slavery. We have been delivered from the slavery of sin and of unrighteousness and of Satan. And now we are slaves of righteousness and of Christ. But it is odd, very odd, to speak of the Christian life as slavery. Paul knows this, and he says, I'm just speaking in human terms. He's comparing the way of life on the road to death with the way of life on the road to eternal life and blessedness. The sin-centered, self-centered life and the Christ-centered life. And he says that they are both like the human condition of slavery. Those who have faith in the Lord and serve him with gladness are no less devoted to him and no less obedient to him than the slaves of sin are to the way of life that's brought about by the Prince of Darkness. The wages of sin is death, but for us on the other road, death is no longer a curse. Death is turned into something else, the entryway into the joys of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are living with Christ even now, walking with him on the road, serving him, trusting him, speaking to him in prayer. And after death, we will continue to be with him and to walk with him, to serve him, and to receive his gifts. It has been said that the Christian hope of eternal life is like a dog scratching on a door that he wants to get into. And this particular dog had never been in that room and knew nothing about it. But he wanted to get into that room in the worst way because the one thing he knew for sure was that his master was there. We don't know what the world to come is like. We know very little about it, but we yearn to have a place there because our dear Lord and Master is there, Jesus Christ, the Savior. If you don't like to call yourself a dog, then use Paul's image. Call yourself a slave of righteousness and of Christ. And the blessed fact will still be the same. That is, you have a master who is there, a gracious master, a beloved master, Christ. And Christians look forward to serving him forever. In our story, Teta is just a character of fiction. But she represents a vast multitude of people who need to hear the glad news that eternal life is a free gift in which all who are reconciled in Christ will go on living with him forever. Amen.